We didn't have no help. Some of you wasn't here then. I was preaching about every service unless I called somebody. And I used my home preachers more than I call on people. Some of you might remember when I first come to church. I did a good majority of the preaching, or I felt like I did anyway. I was at least preaching, you know, three times a week. So I'd say, you know, might have got one or two preachers a month. But then once the Lord began to bring preachers in, and we had five different preachers here, I don't believe the Lord brings them in for them to just sit there and always listen to you preach. I believe out with all my heart. It's almost like we had singers when I come here, but the Lord has blessed us to bring more singers in. Well, the singers that was here still sings, but they don't sing as much because God sent other singers, and we use them because the Lord sends them here for a reason. Y'all with me tonight? And I want to read something tonight. I read it this week. It's still on my heart. I don't know if I preach it or teach it, but it just seemed like it would not leave me. And I want to try to just bring out. All I've got is a couple scriptures wrote down here. That's all it is. You can't get much of a message wrote down on a piece of paper that size. But I just wanted to make sure I didn't misplace where my verses was. But I want you to turn with us over to the book of Matthew chapter 6 tonight. Book of Matthew chapter 6. This is something that everybody needs to learn, but a lot of times we don't learn it until we get into a situation where it causes us to be reminded that we may not have a tomorrow. You know, we all know that. The Bible said, take no thought for tomorrow may not even come. And that we ought to live for the Lord today. If you're going to get saved, today's the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Everything is focused on today. I've said this a lot of times with the Lord's help. Anything that's ever been done for the Lord was done in today. We can talk about yesterday, but when the work got done, it was a today. We can talk about what we're going to do tomorrow, but right now, tonight, tomorrow is tomorrow. Yesterday was yesterday. But yesterday, when we was in yesterday, it was a today. I've never prayed in a tomorrow. Y'all with me tonight? I've never prayed in a yesterday. But every time I've ever talked to the Lord, it was in the day that God had given me and blessed me with. And the Lord was teaching the disciples how to pray. And I want to, with the Lord's help, I'm going to start reading at verse 5. And I'm going to go down just a few verses just so we can get an understanding of what he's saying. I'm not going to try to cover the whole prayer tonight. But, you know, we've heard this. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard this prayer. And I'm going to read it slow because I want you to understand what he's saying tonight. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll just read these few verses. And then we'll let you be seated. And we'll just try to do that the Lord would have for us to do tonight. The Bible said in verse 5, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Just real quick, you just in those three verses, you hear the Lord saying, if you're going to pray, it's okay to pray openly, but if we're praying for men to hear us pray, we're not in the right attitude to be praying. And that if we're going to pray, we need to get off somewhere alone with the Lord. That's who we're talking to, amen? But in verse 7, he said this, that a lot of people, the heathens, thought that much speaking or much words made their prayer more eloquent, or that they had much to say so God would hear them. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God hears the simple prayers too. And so he said, but be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated tonight. That's what I wanted to read. And I want you to take your Bibles real quick, and I want you to turn with us over the book of Exodus, chapter 16. The book of Exodus, chapter 16. Stay right where you're at in Matthew, too, because I want to point something out, but I was letting you know where we're headed. Verse 11. In Matthew 7, 11 is where we're at right now. Keep holding Exodus 16 because that's where we're going. In verse 11, he said this. He is teaching them how to pray. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. He is trying to tell them what they need to pray. In verse 11, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Couple of things I want you to notice about daily bread. They wasn't like us. You couldn't just run up the store and get a loaf of bread. If they had bread and they wanted it fresh, it was made daily. If they wanted something to eat, they went to the well daily. Y'all with me? They did things on a daily basis that we can't understand. We don't do these things like they did. We don't go to the well every day. We don't go to, most women, I'm not being ugly, it's just the way it is. Most women don't have to make homemade bread every day to have bread. They did. And, you know, I used to remember years ago, people, and I've heard people make this statement, that they only had one pair of overalls or one pair of shoes or two pair of overalls, one they'd wear to church and one that they'd wear around the house to work in the farm. So if they wanted clothes, they had to wash clothes daily. And that was in America just a few years back. What do we do now? Throw them in the washing machine, run off church, we get home, they're washed for us. Throw them in the dryer, we leave, and we come back from the store and they're dried for us. No hanging them out on the line anymore, bringing them in and having to do things on a daily basis. There's still things we have to do on a daily basis, but not emphasized like they was in the Word of God of how God wanted us to understand, to trust Him on a daily basis. We should be praying daily. We should be reading our Bible daily. We should have a desire to think about our brothers and sisters in Christ daily. And the Lord, He said, when you pray this. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you really realize and understand who gives you your bread? I know all of us works and we pay for our bread, but I'm going to tell you something. Without the help that God's given you, you wouldn't be working nowhere. God gives us our bread. And so he said, give us this day our daily bread. Well, who's he talking to? He started the prayer off saying, our Father which art in heaven. I think we've gotten away from that a lot. The Lord made it very clear in the scriptures here that we're supposed to be praying to the Father. He did. When he prayed, Brother Randy, he talked to the Father, Brother EJ. It seems like in the latter years we begin to add in Jesus' name. And scripturally, I can't find that. I don't think nothing's wrong with that. The Father's pleased with the Son. And he said everything was put under his feet. So I believe he has the authority. And one place said he's the mediator, which makes it clear when we're praying, our prayers go to Jesus. But Jesus, when he is teaching the very disciples to pray, he said, pray our Father, which art in heaven, have hallowed be thy name, amen. How many times have you prayed and you prayed and said, Father, I just need to talk to you for a few minutes? I believe that's, I ain't saying that's how you have to start a prayer off, but I believe that we shouldn't be trying to ask for anything, say anything, do anything without acknowledging that we've got a Heavenly Father that we're talking to. Hallowed be thy name means his name is holy. We're not just talking to the man upstairs. That's what a lot of people say. We're not just talking to a good buddy. We're talking to the Lord. We're talking to the God Almighty, the creator of all things, the God of heaven and of earth. Amen. Do you realize that prayer gives you access straight to the God of the universe? That's amazing to me. And God said, when you ask this, when you're praying, give us this day our daily bread. He didn't even say, ask for this week's bread. Ask for this month's bread. Ask for 2 days' worth of bread. But ask for our daily bread. Think about this for just a moment now. Most people, and I believe this will still get back to Sister Debbie because it was still on my heart, so somebody else must need it more than she does. She already knows this. But when I go visit somebody in the hospital or at their house and they've gotten sick, I've had friends, I've had family members, I've had church members, Brother EJ, the first thing they usually say, Brother Randy, is, well, just pray for us. We're just taking one day at a time. That's one of the most, I guess I've heard that statement around sick folks more than any other statement I've ever heard in my life. And the reason is because the closer we get to heaven and the more we realize we might not be here tomorrow, the frailty of life, Sister Debbie might outlive me. She might live 40 more years, but she knows that the Lord could take her out any day if he chooses to do so. And she says, I'm just taking one day at a time. You know when else you hear that statement? It's when people's going through valleys and trials and struggles. I'll call and I say, well, I was just thinking about you, Dad. I know you're going through a hard time. And Brother Blake will say, well, just pray for me. I'm just taking one day at a time. I've called my mama. My mama said, well, I'm just taking one day at a time, so I don't know what to do. Sometimes it gets so rough. My grandmother, she told one day, she said, Jeff, I used to think take one day at a time, but now I'm working minute by minute, and I think I've backed up to seconds. Just take it 1 second at a time. And what I'm trying to get at tonight is this. Don't get ahead of ourselves. Let tomorrow take care of tomorrow. But let's worry about what's going on today. The Bible said one place, the mark will take care of itself pretty much. It said that, you know, sometimes our days are not good because we're focused so much on what tomorrow brings. Amen. I believe that's why Sunday night services usually are not as good as Sunday morning. That's a weak amen right there. Y'all all know it. You know why sometimes? I'm already dreading going to work in the morning. I wouldn't think about work this morning, but now tonight, we only got a few hours, and I'm going home, go to bed, and I got to get up at 4:50. It's hard to get excited about that. Well, praise the Lord, I'm going to work at 4:50 in the morning. Amen. But I'll tell you something, Brother Matt, I'm glad I got a job. Amen. I mean, through my job, God is supplying the daily bread that I need, that Amanda needs, Ryan and Naomi needs. God is supplying my family's needs through a job in this world. He has ways of supplying our needs. And, you know, if we get focusing too much on what tomorrow brings, and I don't want to get to the point, and I'm going to get that other scripture here in just a second. I don't want to tarry too long on this, but this is what was on my heart. There's been a lot of times me and Amanda's had conversations, and she'll say, well, what are we going to do Thursday? And women, most of the time, want to know more about what's happening Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday than men do. Usually the women's the ones that has the calendars. The women's one that knows exactly what time every appointment is for everybody in the family. Amen. Doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, mama, daddy. Man, that's got all that. She's taking care of all that. If I was to call one of her brothers tonight, they wouldn't know if her daddy was having surgery next week. They'd just say, yeah, I think daddy's having surgery next week. Well, that's the way I am. I'm like, yeah, I think they're going next week. The only reason I put a little bit more emphasis than most men do, as a pastor, you have to know when things are going on to go visit people and to be praying. Y'all with me? But most of the time, we don't keep up with the details. Amanda was sick and didn't get to go up to the hospital, and Bridget had her baby, and I come home, and Amanda said, well, how big is she? I said, I don't know about that big. How much she weigh? I don't know. She weighed about, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 8 pounds. Everybody weighs between 5 and 8 pounds, don't they? Amen. All I knew, she was healthy. She had made it. Mama's doing good. Babies arrived. No details. No details. Women want details. And the point I was wanting to get at was this, man. I said, what are we going to do Thursday? What are we going to do Thursday? I said, honey, I don't know what we're going to do Thursday. Thursday, you might be picking out a coffin for me. pick me a good one out, you know. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm stating fact. I'm telling the truth. We're worried so much about what's going to happen Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, we might not wake up in the morning, amen. It's hard to enjoy a today if we're focused so much on what's going to happen next week or the next day or the end of this week. I believe we have to plan for things. When I was studying this out, Brother Nick come on my mind. He just went out of town. I've been out of town. And you can't wait till, if I knew I was going out of town tomorrow, I can't get up in the morning and wash all my clothes and pack a suitcase and do all these things. And so we have to plan ahead for these things. Y'all with me? Even scripturally, the men that was farmers that we find out, we read about sowers, they sowed months and months in advance and worked in the garden before they ever got a harvest. But I'm going to tell you something. Once they planted the seeds, once it was covered up, once they did everything they could do, they was praying, waiting every day, day by day, that the plant was going to come up. That God was going to send the right amount of rain. That God was going to send the right amount of sunshine. Y'all with me? They was looking to the Lord for their daily needs. And I want you to know something tonight. God cares about your daily needs. As a weak amen. I'm talking about your Father cares about everything that you're going to go through tomorrow as a day. He cares about you. I care about what Amanda's being my wife. I care about what tomorrow brings to her. Amen. And I care about my children and what they're going to have going on tomorrow. Brother Mallard, but God cares more than we care. You understand that? Sometimes even the details, Amanda and the kids, and y'all forgive me. I'm apologizing right here in front of everybody. Sometimes they'll start telling me something and my brain feels like jello. It's just so much going on. Trying to keep up with the church. Trying to keep up with your job. Knowing this. And then you find out something else going on. Something else going on. And sometimes I say, hey, let's just let tomorrow take care of itself. And it's really, it's like you hear these things going on, but that's really not the way we should be. My Heavenly Father wants to hear what's going on in my life. And as a good earthly father, we should want to hear what's going on in our children's lives. I've never thought about this too much, but think about it. You ever had two or three people try to tell you something at one time and they're just all excited about what they're going to be doing tomorrow and they're trying to tell you what they're going to be doing and you're just like, this is too much. Got to go get me a cup of coffee or something. And God is hearing millions. Millions of people tonight in church are going to go to the altar and say, Lord, help me next week. My dad's got a doctor's appointment. Be with my son, cancer, this, that. I mean, if you just think about hospitals, just hospitals alone and just churches alone, how many millions of people are going to be talking to God about just what's going to happen tomorrow? And when tomorrow gets here, it'll be there today. I know this message is a little different than normal. The Lord knows how to bring it out. And I hope that when we leave here tonight, you'll say, you know what? Really, there's enough in today to worry about to not try to add a lot of weight on my wheelbarrow about what's going on tomorrow because I might not have to deal with it. I think we deal with a lot of things ahead of time and it puts too much on our plate in that day. Let me tell you what I believe happens. We get so much going on with our job and our own lives, and our kids, and our wives, and our neighbors, and our car, and this. We get to thinking about, well, I'm going to have to do something to use with that car, and I'm going to have to do this and that. And we get all that piled up in today. But we're not carrying a car to Tuesday, brother man. We ain't going to the dentist to Thursday, but we're dealing with everything that today brings, plus what Tuesday's going to bring, plus what Thursday's going to bring, plus what our in-laws are going through Friday, plus what the church is going through Saturday, and God didn't intend for us to deal with the whole week in a day. That's why He give us a day. Y'all with me? There is times, though, when we're fixing to read the scripture that I had on my heart, that we have to deal to a day-to-day basis. But then There comes a special reason that God allows us to take care of something for 2 days. It's not real often, but he has a good reason for it, and he's the Lord, and he can do that. I want us to turn over now to Exodus chapter 16. I'll just share a few things with this, and hope this will be a help to you. And no way I can cover all this chapter. But I want to start reading verse 1. And I may read this whole chapter, and then I'll just stop in one or two places, and I'll be done. I really don't know what all I'll say on it, but I did feel like reading, and I don't want to leave any of this out. So that being said, we'll get started. Is everybody at Exodus chapter 16, just say amen. Amen. He said, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure out of the land of Egypt. And just so you know, that was a month. They'd been at Sinai for a month, just so you know. Their provisions that they brought out of Egypt has lasted up for about 30 days. And now they're leaving, and their provisions are starting to run out, the things that they carried with them from Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots. And when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, I just want to point out something real quick here that I'd never noticed the other night. Nobody has died yet of hunger. They're already anticipating what's going to happen if they keep journeying in a wilderness, that everybody's going to starve to death, yet nobody has starved yet. How many times have you let what's going to happen tomorrow just tear today all to pieces, and when you get there, nothing happened like you let it bother you? I've had some preachers call me, Brother Andy, and I thought, well, here it goes. I already know what he wants. I'm going to tell him when he calls me. I'm telling him. This is the way it is. That's where I stand. I'm not changing. I'm a boy, Lord, you help me not say nothing I ain't supposed to say. Get all fired up. They call you next day. Hey, brother, yes, just want to let you know I've been praying for you, thinking about you. You feel like an ant needs to crawl back in his little hole, amen? Because we're all worried, and we let things build up. How many of us ever done that on a job? Boss says, hey, in the morning when you come in, just come straight to my office. I'd like to talk to you. Well, if he starts talking to me about coming in late, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to tell him this, that, and that. And then he gives you a raise. Got all tore up and been over nothing. Maybe call Brother Nick in. He didn't know. Maybe somebody on the floor wasn't doing a good job and thought he was going to have to deal with that. And he says, hey, we're going to go out of town. We'll take a trip out of town. It's never what we think. I mean, I promise you, when we're dealing on tomorrow, there is nobody that knows what tomorrow holds except for the Lord. We get things in our head, and they already had it in their head that they're going to starve if they kept going in the wilderness. They forgot the same God that was leading them got them across the Red Sea, took care of the enemy, got them out of bondage, sent 10 plagues. But he did all these great miracles, but he's going to let us starve to death. He can't take care of us with food. We're going to find out how God can take care of us. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. All this means was, he said, I'm going to let bread fall down out of heaven. And I'm not going to try to get into all this tonight. It was way too much when I studied it. I always thought about, when I think about bread, I'm thinking about a loaf of bread. And when I studied several times about manna, I was always thinking about like a wafer. And I've heard people say it was like a wafer. But when I got to study a little bit more about it, in one place it said it was like the coriander seed or something like that, and it begins to talk about how small it is. And I got to study a little bit about history, and they said they still talk about that, and I thought this was pretty neat, and I thought you'd like this. They said, how could they sweep the bread up and gather up the seed for a day. What it was, they're gathering up the grain to be able to make the bread. God still expected them to gather it up and to be able to use it to make flour and to make bread every day, because they'd have nowhere to go get it. But they're going to have to gather all this up. And then when you think about that, you think, well, when they're sweeping, it'd be all dusty, wouldn't it? Dirty. History tells this. Now, I ain't got no Bible to prove this, but I believe this kind of God we got. They said that every day, the people over in Israel still talk about it, said that God, that there would be a light breeze that would blow, and the dust would blow out of there. And then a light rain would come in and settle the ground down. Where y'all ever seen where a dusty field hadn't rained in a while? Y'all with me? And then it rains, and it sort of like lays it down and pads it down. And they said then the seed would fall down and they could just gather it up with ease and no dirt got in it, no dust or anything. Now that's just what some of them says. Historically, that some of them still says happened. I don't know if it happened that way or not, but then I looked up Brother Mallory in the Bible about this manna, and he gives us four descriptions and said to some it was tasting like milk. Said to some of them it's like sweet honey in their mouth. One of the writers said this, I really like this one, studied it. He said, even though God was just sending one bread, it tasted different to every person because it's meeting exactly what they needed. Ain't you glad when a message comes that we all hear the same message, but we get something different because God is meeting every one of our needs? He's not just sending one message to one person or to one congregation most times, because we all need something different. How many of you in here are saved? Raise your hand. But if you're not saved, the message might be coming to you so you can get saved. But that message is not us. I'm already saved. Brother Randy's already saved. If you're in here and you say, well, I feel like God's called me to preach. Well, that message is not coming to me, Brother Andy, Brother EJ. He's already called us to preach. Y'all hear what I'm saying tonight? The message is always different because God is dealing with all his people. Listen to this. So then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. He said, and at the end, he said this, and I'm going to prove whether they'll walk in my law or no. The Lord, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to let bread fall down. And I want them to go out every day. And a rate just means I want them to go out and get a little portion for every day. And said, I'm going to see if they're going to mind me or not. And he said, and it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they shall bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. I'd never caught that. I want somebody later, you call me or Wednesday night, pull me out and talk to me if you think I'm missing this. But it's, listen, it says, and it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. If I'm reading that correct, he's saying, now you go out, gather that portion for that day. And when you get to making your bread, you're going to be surprised, and it's going to turn into two-day supply on a one-day gathering. Ain't that good? That God can turn one-day supply into 2 days. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, and then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought ye out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning they shall see the glory of the Lord, for he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that we murmur? And what are we that ye murmur against us? You go back and read this chapter later. I'm not going to stop and try to point every little thing out. But, you know, everywhere you read, it says they was murmuring against Moses and Aaron. Y'all with me? But every time Moses was talking to them, he said, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. If you murmur against the church, you're murmuring against the Lord. If you murmur against the preacher, you're murmuring against the Lord. If you murmur against the song leader, you're murmuring against the Lord. If you murmur against the Sunday school teacher, you're murmuring against the Lord. You're not complaining to them or murmuring about what they're doing, but if they're doing what God told them to do, you're murmuring against the Lord. Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Moses said to Aaron, saying to all the congregation, I'm trying to read fast, unto all the congregation, the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation, the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at the evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came in and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. They was murmuring about bread, and God gave them bread. Then they got to murmuring about not having meat, and God sent them meat. And when the dew that they lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness they lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. Think about that now. One place it says a coriander seed, if I'm saying it right, and here it's saying it's a small round thing as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. The little frost that's on the ends of the grasses and on the grounds that you see sometimes not big. And he said, when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Ain't that good? He said, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, a omer. For every man, according to the number of your person, take ye every man for them which are in his tent. The children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. Amen. Some people need more and some need less. In our physical needs, God knows that some people need more things to be provided. If you got a family and you got five kids and a husband and wife and there's seven, another family's got two kids and a husband and wife, and that family's almost double, it just common sense tells you they're going to need double provision. Ain't that good? God don't look and say, I'm just giving you enough right here for this family, but he looks at each individual family and makes sure our needs are met. That's how much God loves you tonight. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with a homer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Ain't that amazing? They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. I read that verse this week and I got to feeling a whole lot better about myself. Two things I noticed here in this verse. One, they wasn't listening to him. And a lot of times when a preacher preaches, he feels like people's not listening to him. And secondly, Moses got mad because they didn't do what he told them to do. And it wasn't him, it was the Lord that told him to tell them. And he got mad because they wasn't listening. And sometimes I get real guilty and I go home and I get to feeling bad thinking, well, I shouldn't get mad, I'm a pastor. Everybody's not going to do the way I think they should do. But in the flesh, you get mad going, why won't they listen? I'm preaching. I'm telling them how important it is to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they're getting up, walking out of church in the middle of Sunday morning. Don't even stay for the whole message. Got more things on their mind. Brother D.B. hit on the head the other night. People just don't have a desire to come to the Lord's house like they used to. Look around tonight. There's not a great vast of middle-aged kids in here. It's our older generation. I've said this a bunch of times when I've come here. That's, you know, outside of Nick and Leisha and me and Amanda and a few others, some teenagers, we don't have a middle-aged group that's being faithful to the Lord. But it's not Welcome Grove. I don't see that hardly in any church. Everywhere I go that's old-fashioned, still believes the Bible, has church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you'll find that about 75 or 80% of it's going to be your older generation. That's what concerns me more than anything is where are we headed as a church 20 years from now? When my older generation ain't here and all these other churches, the older generation ain't here, where are we going to be at as a church? I ain't talking about Welcome Grove. I'm talking about the church. Where are we going to be at? They hearkened not unto Moses, and he got wroth with them. They gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun was waxed hot, it melted. It came to pass on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that with your seed, and that that which remaineth overlay up for you to keep until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bid, and it did not stink, neither were there any worms therein. Well, I thought he just held some bread over for one day. It stank and had worms in it. Now they're holding it over for a day and it don't stink and it don't have worms in it. It's because God told them to do that. He didn't want them gathering up more bread on the Sabbath. That was a day of rest. This will help all of us out, even your pastor. There's a bunch of working men in this church, hard labor. But I'm going to tell you something, nobody works harder than the Lord, and he rest. He took a day to rest. Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath of the Lord, and today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. He was just pretty much saying God's not going to send no bread on the Sabbath. Why wasn't God going to send any bread on Sabbath? He's resting. He was going to take care of them 6 days a week. He was going to allow the bread to be carried over the next day, but said if they went to the field, there'd be none there. He wanted them to rest. And I think that's where I'm going to stop. I thought I was just going to finish all of it, but if you keep reading, if you go home and read this, it's rest on the seventh day. Manna kept as a testimony. If some of you don't know this, they took some of the manna, they kept it in the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, as a reminder of how God took care of them. Took care of them on a daily basis. You know, sometimes I think we need to keep some things that reminds us of how God takes care of us. I'll share this and then I'll be done. Brother Nick and them, if they want to, come get a verse of song. If you've got a song on his heart. I'll never forget this. I wish I sometimes could remember the man, and it's a sad, sad story, but it was true. He was a preacher, an evangelist, and his son could play ball real well, had a talent to play baseball, I believe it was. And it got to a point that they were spending so much time going to the ball field and practices and stuff that he started missing church a little here and there. He gave up his church, and he wasn't preaching as much. And then next thing you know it, their vacations was fixed around ball. There's nothing wrong with playing ball. There's nothing wrong with your kids playing ball. But when ball comes between you and the Lord, it becomes a problem. I promise you. And it's not just ball. It's anything we let come between us and the Lord. And so he allowed that to get between him and the Lord. And some time passed, and I can't really remember what happened, but the boy got hurt really bad. Got crippled. He was on crutches. And then eventually he got worse, and he went into a wheelchair. And the doctors told his dad, he said, your son most likely is never going to walk again, much less run. He'll never play ball again. Every time I seen Ty, made me think of this story, not point this towards Brandon or Stacy or nothing like that, but just thinking of how one day, you know, somebody can be healthy and everything fine and just boom, like that, they might not be able to run or walk or do the things that they did. And that can happen to any of us. That can happen to any of us. Well, I could go out here tonight, I'm healthy, I feel like I could go play men's softball next Saturday. I feel almost like Caleb. I started working out on the construction site, and I feel as good now as I did when I was 20 years old. I was watching college football the other night, and I thought, I'd like to just go down there and run the football one time. I'm feeling pretty good. I know if I went through line one time, probably wouldn't take one or two hits. I've hit my shin a few times at work and thought the world was coming to an end. So I don't know if I could take it, but I feel good is what I'm getting at. But I could walk out of here tonight, climb in the car, pull, just don't even really get out of the parking lot, and somebody could hit me. And I might not ever walk again, might be a vegetable, might not ever be able to work again, might not even be able to carry on a conversation with my son or my wife. And then it ain't got to be a wreck, Brother EJ. I've seen people right in the pulpit have strokes. I might not even get out of this building, Brother Man, and have a stroke or heart attack and never be the same. Some of you seen how it affected James. I think he gets around good after having a stroke. All I'm getting at is we're all feeble human beings. So this man, he asked an evangelist to come preach for him at his church. And he said, well, if you would, just get me a room. He said, we got an extra room in the house. And he said, you're more than welcome to stay there. And he said, well, if it's not going to be imposing. And he come in and he preached for the man that week. But he said, if you want to, he said, there's a closet down there, and that's where I go and pray. And he said, you can use that closet if you'd like to. The man was pastoring again. And that man was preaching the revival. Would go in the closet to pray, but every night he noticed, and I've shared this several times, but it touched my heart. It's a sad, sad story. The man would go in and pray, and every night he'd go in and pray, Brother Randy. He'd notice that the room was empty. He had cleaned it out so that you could go in. It was his prayer closet, but there were some crutches leaned up in the corner of the wall. And every night the man would go in there and pray, he'd look at them crutches, and it was just eating him alive. And he said, I'm going to have to ask him. I mean, there's nothing in his closet. He's cleaned everything out. He says this is his prayer room. These crutches are leaning up against the corner in the wall. And on Friday night after the revival, he asked him, he said, hey, before I go back home, he asked him, is there anything I can do for you? He said, there is one thing that I'd like to ask you before I go back home. And he said, what is that? He said, all week long I've been going in your prayer closet and I've been praying. And I noticed a set of crutches in there and I was wanting to know what's up with that, you know. And he said, well, brother, he said, I hate to even bring it up. He said, them crutches are a reminder to me. He said, I used to be on fire for the Lord, pastoring churches, preaching all over the state. And he said, and my son got to where he could play baseball real good. We missed church, and I run all over so he could play ball. And he said, now my son can't walk. And he said, I got plenty of time to preach and got plenty of time to be a pastor because we're not going to no ball games no more. And he said, I've left them crutches in my closet to remind me what it cost me last time I got out of the Lord's will. So that I'd realize that what kind of power God's got. Now, I'm not saying this to scare you, and I'm just stating fact, and this is truth. If the Lord wants you to do something, he can get it done. If you don't believe it, ask Jonah when you get to heaven. He got him right where he wanted him. He preached to the city he wanted him to preach. And if he wants you to do something, he's going to get that took care of tonight. I want us to rise to our feet. And I want to ask you just a couple questions. I want you to really think about this. Are you taking one day at a time? Is the cares of this life seemingly getting too much for you and you're trying to cram too much into one day and the Lord is trying to get us to understand? Like the old song. I like these songs that people wrote that's backed by the Bible. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me to take one day at a time. That's the song. Are we doing that tonight? That would be my question is, are we taking one day at a time? And secondly, are we allowing things to get in the way of us doing what the Lord would have for us to do? Brother Nick, you got a verse, a song on your heart or a song or...